This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest, match preview podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and this week's episode, see Eskiff and Albert join me in looking forward to our trip to the home of the resurgent Everton.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp. 0203 575 1266.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Just before we started there, Albert, very kindly and beautifully, in the most loving way I've ever heard, Tenley's wife, do you mind leaving? Was this just the room or just your life in general?
Get out. No, it was just to leave the vicinity of the microphone, that's all. That's okay. She's gone to the east wing where there's plenty of room and she can clatter the knife and fork round the pasta bowl as much as she likes. Not a euphemism.
Has she gone to the Deeney Lounge? Is that what it's called?
No, it's called the Hesketh's a c*** lounge.
Hey, 50 seconds in, first C-bomb. And... yeah, I was actually going to suggest that the East Wing actually is one of the boxes that overlooks Vicarage Road, Hesketh. So not too far from the same page there. And yes, there he is in the background, Eskiff. Thanks for joining.
Hello, thank you.
I bet you're delighted after last week.
What was last week? Us losing?
Yep. And our favourite player throwing the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, just as... You know, it basically, these people just wait for us to lavish praise upon them and then do that.
Right. Before we move on, let's do this.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken! Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Now, I can't remember what the dates were. I think it was last Wednesday. So, yeah, I failed Dry January on the 30th of January. I don't know if that's stupid or if it really matters at all, but alas, it fell over, Eskiff.
Yeah, there's, funny enough, someone that I work with, a guy called Fergal, who supports Man United, so we'll abuse him as much as we want. I went out for drinks and he couldn't come because he was doing Dry January. And then it turns out, I said to him, when was the last time you had a drink? And he said, oh, it was about 2 o'clock, New Year's Eve. So I was like, oh, New Year's Eve or New Year's Day? He said, New Year's Day. I said, well, you failed it after 2 hours. So you might as well come and have a drink.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not too annoyed with myself. But
Yeah, you know, it's what it is. It happened. And then I drank an absolute skinful after Sheffield United because I was furious. But this week, I forgot to buy a beer because it's not ingrained in my memory anymore. So I've had to crack open a bottle of Christmas Baileys, Albert.
Oh, wow. You're on similar page to me because I haven't got any beers either. So I've had to pour myself a gin and tonic. But luckily, the tonic water is in a little can. So nice. Get the effect of the beer.
Oh, and a gin and tonic there. We're getting towards the final podcast of the season, not too far away now, just a couple of months for gin and tonic check instead of beer check, because that went so well last year, didn't it, Eskiff?
Can't remember.
Yeah, that was an interesting... Oh,
I have to listen back to that for the highlights. Right, I'm going to start this week with... So I already mentioned there about Vicente Guaita throwing the ball into the back of the net from a corner to hand Sheffield United the 1-0 victory last week. Albert, after the game, going to the victory, we're all there having a beer, drowning our sorrows, and they roll out the bingo machine, which if anyone who's been to the victory knows that rolling it out after just 45 minutes is a bit sooner than they normally do there. You got to be there to about 8:30 p.m. for the bingo to start. But it comes out and they like get the microphone out. Hush, 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 everyone. We've been running this bingo for, you know, handing out raffle tickets, for a few weeks now. And now this is the big unveiling of the prize. And it's only a signed framed picture of Vicente Guaita. Could you get more palace with the time here, Albert?
Not really. The only thing that would make it even more ironic is if when they pulled the ball out, whoever drew it actually dropped it.
So, yeah, it would have to have been the prize, but it got drawn out. And this is terrible. I really shouldn't laugh at this, but the money was raised for Alzheimer's. And so congratulations, everyone, for raising a few hundred quid there. And then the person who got drawn out, it was a phone number because I'd been doing it over a few weeks and he wasn't there. And and he'd forgot he'd bought the ticket because he's suffering from early onset Alzheimer's.
Oh, no.
I know I shouldn't laugh. It's a terrible thing to do, but yeah.
If you're listening, Alanis Morissette, that is ironic.
Oh, he won't ever let it go, will he? He loves that tune. But alas, eventually someone got the award, so congratulations to everyone. It's a fantastic prize. It really, really is. And fair play to Vicente for providing that as well. Right, we can't do this show after Newcastle's victory at Oxford with Albert on it without talking about what happened in the stands. Do you want to talk us through it?
I'm sure everyone's seen it. Just the... No, we all love a goal, you know, in the magic of the FA Cup and
good goal,
the drama.
Well. Bloody good goal.
Good goal. Good goal. So, you know, quite understandably, you know, over-enthusiastic Geordie in the crowd just got his knob out and started shaking it about. Fair enough.
Now, Saint Maximin, who scored the goal, has actually tweeted about this a couple of times. And everyone's saying that he was doing a windmill. Was he doing a windmill there? Or some have said windmill, some have said the helicopter. I don't think he's doing either of those things.
No, when in the scouts, this is going to sound dodgy.
oh my God, what a start.
Go on.
We had a mate who did something similar and he called it a cappuccino. Don't know why.
Cappuccino.
He used to say cappuccino when he was just shaking it about. And I have to stress, he was one of the scouts, not one of the scout leaders. However, I feel I should add a further disclaimer that Jeff, the scout leader, did turn out to be a paedophile. So...
Of course he did. Well, I mean, why wouldn't Jeff? It would have been better if he had... Yeah, let's not go into
it. He had the most prominent outie belly button I've ever seen.
What is happening?
Did it always used to bump you in the forehead? anyway,
yeah, we've got a couple of badges for it.
We're moving on.
See, I was going to gear up here to make a joke about the Newcastle fan by saying knob on the Tyne. But now we've gone down this dark alley, I feel like everything's
with
lost.
Jeff.
With Jeff.
Anyway, you Newcastle fans, you think are used to the cold, but that one certainly wasn't. And we'll stick in the northeast. And this time, Eskiff, it's been the anniversary in the last couple of days of the 4-0 defeat to Sunderland 3 whole years ago. Seems just like it was yesterday.
Oh, it's a recurring nightmare that I have that game. I'll tell you, the one thing I do remember is the morning of the game, my wife didn't want to go to the game because she was feeling really ill. And she was really ill. And I persuaded her because I was like, it's a massive game. You know, this is the game that you need to come and support. Obviously, she has a season ticket and all that. But I was like, if any game is important this season, it's this one. And I just remember the look as the halftime whistle blew. She stands one row in front of me in Block D. The look that I got, I felt everything shrivel up. It was the most scared I've ever been in my life.
No windmilling for you.
No cappuccino.
No cappuccino. So as bad as that game was, I'll always remember that I was dicing with death for persuading Vanessa to actually turn up to the game.
I remember the second goal went in and I start making my way from row 25 of the Holmesdale lower tier. So not too far from the back. I think there's maybe 35 rows, something like that. And by the time I'd got out of my row and up the stairs, it was 4-0. So I couldn't even. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. We went down out back and people were saying, I can't believe it's 3-0. It was like, what are you talking about? They've just scored in the time that they're replaying the third goal. They've scored again. Oh, what a day.
Who was Sunderland manager?
David Moyes.
Moisey.
Yeah, the Roker Report, which is a Sunderland podcast, I believe, or maybe it's a fanzine, actually. They tweeted me saying, after the game, we were singing, who needs Allardyce? We've got Moyes.
And well, he is a winner.
He is a winner. Well, I mean, apparently he's already in trouble at West Ham, if you believe the in the no West Ham people on Twitter. But it'd be very interesting to see if they sacked him, but they... It's looking pretty disastrous there. And let's be honest, none of us will shed a tear if West Ham went down, would we? So, right.
They'd have to lose a tier of their stadium, though.
Well, they're doing something with the seats, aren't they? As I saw you say on Twitter, are we paying for this, Albert? Did you find that out?
Well, I'm awaiting the invoice.
I mean, if anyone could afford it out of us, it would be you. So, yeah, anyway, let's look to the future. Crystal Palace rising star Gonzalez has been compared to Philip Coutinho, Albert. That's some praise.
By who?
His agent.
Right, moving on.
Attacking midfielder there, Hesketh, you know, number 10 type player, sitting in behind, pulling strings, hitting shot from range. It sounds like he's right up Hodgson Street.
Oh, yeah, that's the Hodgson mold, isn't it? Oh, my God. And a creative playmaking midfielder. Can't wait.
From one creative making midfielder to another one. Max Meyer. And I'm going to read this whole article out because it's definitely worth the time. So this says, Max Meyer, this is the headline, responds to Connor Wickham's Instagram post. You'd be pleased to know, Albert, this is a one-minute read. It says, Max Meyer has responded to Connor Wickham's latest Instagram post, his second upload since he joined Sheffield Wednesday on loan until the end of the campaign. The Ipswich Academy graduate completed a temporary switch to Hillsborough on deadline day, having found game time hard to come by at Selhurst Park under Roy Hodgson this season. Wickham made no Premier League starts, only appearing from the bench on 6 occasions in England's top flight this term. This is based off an Instagram post, bear this in mind. Meyer is another player who has struggled for consistent action, making only 6 Premier League starts in the current campaign. The Germany international has also made 6 substitute outings. After his teammate uploaded an image of himself training alongside his new Sheffield Wednesday colleagues, the former Schalke man responded by typing out nothing but a fire emoji to send to his fellow Crystal Palace companion, who he will not now see until the summer, hyphen, unless they meet up of their own accord. End of article.
What?
Unless they meet up of their own accord.
Is that The Athletic? Because I'm.
You imagine that behind a paywall.
That's what's that Twitter account? Accidental Partridge, where people. That's definitely an accidental Alan Partridge.
Oh, I hope he's done it deliberately. I mean, I really do hope he's just a comedic genius. And so shout out to Billy Myers. Although, you know, that name really does ring a bell. And I'm wondering, like, if he's actually a Palace fan, because I recognise that name quite a lot. I'm going to fill here as I go and search for Billy Myers on Twitter.
It also sounds like an excerpt from one of the Steve Bruce footballer novels, if anyone who listens to Quickly Kevin, other football podcasts are available, like this one. It does sound like the sort of prose that Steve Bruce would come out with in one of his infamous, I'm saying the word novels, but I don't really mean it.
Alas, it is a Crystal Palace fan. I found him at Billy_Myers98 on Twitter. I write words
get him on the show,
fan cast. So there you go, Billy, if you're listening, let us know. Are you a comedic genius, or is this your overlords telling you to write nonsense? I mean,
Billy, send us something every week. And if it's of that quality,
it's in.
We will read it out. We don't get a lot of contact.
Absolutely in. I asked for some contact today. Ask us a question. We'll answer anything.
What did you say?
I've got a picture from tonight's game, which is Spurs against Southampton, with James Ward-Prowse laying on the floor in absolute agony. So George is asking, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited does this make you, Hesketh?
I haven't seen it, unfortunately, but just the description, I would say a 9.9. And then were I to see a picture of him writhing in agony, a 10.
Where are you on this spectrum, Albert?
If I was witnessing that at the game, I'd like that Newcastle fan, I would probably get my knob out.
Yes. And laying on the floor there, his mouth's wide open. People, everyone, listeners, non-listeners, just anyone out there in the sphere of the world, don't get your knob out in public, all right? Just stop getting your knobs out in public. Particularly, Hesketh, in the bloody away end at Crystal Palace, where there is a DJ, and this has caused a lot of uproar on social media this week, in that there was a video clip, and I've seen a few of these across the season, of Sheffield United fans having it absolute large in the away end on the concourse as a DJ just pumps out tunes for them. Hyping up the away fans, is this a good idea?
Well, firstly, no, it's not a good idea. And then you start to think about some of the away ends that we've been in, like Watford, Albert, where you're like wading through, you know, like 2 inches of piss in a corridor that's not even wide enough for one person. It's miserable. You know, there might be a sort of ripped up poster that says thanks for travelling on the Metropolitan line or something. And then the away fans come down from Yorkshire to Palace and it's bloody Ministry of Sound and they're all loving it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a huge amount for us to sing and dance about at Sellers Park at the best of times, to be fair, but seeing a load of pissed up away fans get that laid on is a bit annoying, isn't it?
It is. I can actually hear the DJ from my house from about 2 o'clock. And it's tunes every week. I mean, they really should be in there with just playing the worst music you can think of, like Taylor Swift or something on loop for just...
Back up.
Go on.
Not from a bit of Tay-Tay.
Do you know her?
No.
Not yet?
Not yet. No, listen, I think it's quite a smart move because you get all the away fans absolutely tanked up and whatever. They're probably less likely to complain about the horrendous view that they've got once they go into the stand.
Yeah. I don't know. I think away experiences should be horrendous experiences. There's something to do with the charm.
Oh, come on. They're from Sheffield. They have horrendous experiences every day.
Why?
Just cheer them up a bit.
They could just go into their local bank and have a chat with Jessica Ennis. It'd be fine. Anyway, the first
great 2012 reference there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to leave it. I'm one Bailey's down. I'm going to pour another one, and then after this, we can get into the preview of the Everton game.
Back of the Nest Match Review Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Let's start with Roy Hodgson going from 33-1 down to evens to be the next Premier League manager to leave. Heskey, I know you're not really a betting man, but 33-1 was pretty good shout on the once the transfer window closed. Those were the numbers. That's good odds in anyone's eyes for what happened in the window.
Yeah, I mean, I think outside of Palace, probably people think that he's doing really well, you know. I mean, and to be fair, we've all said that with all the injuries and lack of signings and that, you know, he's doing as well as anyone can really be expected. But I think seeing it go from 33s to evens to be sacked seems like a lot of people are putting a decent amount of money on it for it to shoot down quite so quickly. So I don't know if people know things we don't, or if it's, you know, someone's got a hot tip that they've made up and all of a sudden people are spunking money on it. I don't know.
Ooh.
Go on.
Within very short distance, you said hot tip and spunking, and I'm back in the scouts again. Is it to be sacked?
Just to leave. So he could leave. He could be sacked. It's either just the next manager to leave their post through whatever means.
Yeah, I don't think we'd sack him. Because again, I know it ain't great at the moment, but I think, you know, it'd have to be a real bad, rotten run of luck to actually end up relegated under Roy. However, at the end of the season, I can certainly see a natural parting of the ways, as it were. But I don't think they'd be as foolish to sack him, unless, of course, some amazing alternative, long-term, exciting young football manager becomes an option that we can't let slip away. But, you know, who's that going to be?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's always the question when a new manager, if you're getting a new manager, comes about, is who's out there. Let's assume that he does leave in the summer. Let's have some guesses. We're notoriously good at predictions on this. So, Heskey, who will be our manager at the start of next season if Hodgson leaves in the summer?
I'm going to go for what I think is probably quite an obvious choice. I reckon Sean Dyche.
I mean, quite a few Palace fans have said Sean Dyche to me. And Burnley fans, if they listen to this, must just think we're absolute pricks, because they obviously think that they're a much bigger club than us. Probably historically are a much bigger club than us. But yeah, we can just go in and nab their manager if we fancy it.
I reckon he's sort of done. I don't know what else he can do there. There was talk
sign some black players.
Yeah, well, I mean, that'd be a start. I mean, that's an issue if he comes to Palace, but no, I thought there was talk that we were interested in him as manager previously, and I think our ceiling is higher than Burnley's, to be honest. Obviously, they wouldn't want him to go, and probably would put up a fight, but I could just see him being appointed, to be honest. I could just visualise it happening.
Yeah, who are you going for?
I've got two names, and I'm not saying these are names that I want. I'm not saying that I think they're bang on, but I think one could be Daniel Farke. Careful how you say that one. I think if Norwich go down, I can see that being, he was decent and he, you know, tries to play decent football. And maybe we could pry away a couple of Norwich's, you know, star talent. So I can see that being someone we go for. And this one is proper random. I can see, I know there's a tournament in the summer, but I can see Roberto Martinez waltzing back into the Premier League in charge of Crystal Palace. Again, not saying I want it, not saying it's a good idea, but that wouldn't surprise me.
I'm more likely probably a Gareth Southgate disaster class at the Euros, and then he becomes our manager. Or Chris Coleman, more likely, but no. I think it'll be Eddie Howe. That's who I think it'll be. You know, Steve Parrish is an absolute slosh pot for going back for seconds. So I reckon there's a good chance it could be him if he were to go. However, now, see if you can guess who said this, Albert. Roy has been magnificent. Magnificent? Roy Hodgson has been magnificent. He has done such a good job. It's incredible. Frank De Boer came in and had an absolute shocker. And now this is where the clues are coming in. Every time we go for a flashy foreign manager, it goes wrong. Roy may not play hugely sexy football, but it works. Now it's a former Palace legend.
Is it Nigel Farage?
Not too far off. I think there's a good...
Yeah. Is it John Salako?
Yes!
Hooray!
No time for flashy foreign managers, mate. Absolutely no time.
I told you I think it was maybe the first time I was on Love Sport when that first started, like over a year ago. We got into what I will call the sort of production office, and there's obviously newspapers everywhere, all the sports pages. And I picked up a crossword that had kind of been started and filled a lot of it in because, you know, I'm smart. And then it turned out that Salako was doing the show with Brian Moore before we went on, and he came out. It was like, oh, it's John Salako. And I think this is before I knew he was a racist. and he came over to the table to get his coat, and he said, oh, I left my crossword around here somewhere. And I had to sheepishly sort of slide it over the table and be like, yeah, I've done most of it. But he seemed all right about it. He seemed quite reasonable. Less reasonable on Twitter about, you know, non-crossword subjects, shall we say. But yeah, the moment you said flashy foreign manager, it kind of, it really narrowed down the field of who it might be.
Yeah, he's, I have a story about him that I will share off air. Sorry to the people that may upset, but yeah, he's not the nicest guy in the world. But there you go. Back to Roy. He's got the oldest squad in the Premier League, Hesketh, and the second oldest in the top five European leagues. Now, he's partly responsible for that. Second oldest in the top five European leagues. Average age squad, yeah. Our youngest player who's playing at the moment is Gyro at 23.
Spreckensy Deutsch.
Yeah, 30 years and 94 days was the average age of the squad against average age of the starting 11, sorry, against Sheffield United, which is only outdone by Eibar in the Spanish.
You know the problem, because Roy's so old that he still hears those ages and thinks, yeah, they're really young.
You were born in what, 1987?
Get in.
get in.
You young whippersnapper. Me, I tell you what, we could still get a game probably.
Well, yeah.
How old are you, Al?
35?
Bullshit. How old are you?
35.
He is 35. No, you're the oldest, Tessie. You've got to deal with it.
Hang on. Did you think I was older?
Yeah, never mind that. Let's move on.
Yeah, he thought you were like a much older bloke from the movie industry with one of those hot younger wives.
She's older than me.
She never is.
Yes, by about 4 years.
This is legitimately blowing my mind.
Oh, outrageous.
For anyone who listened to last week's pod, they'll remember Albert talking about his hairline running away from his head. So, you know,
it's the stress of dealing with fucking knobhead over here.
Hey, none of us are Newcastle fans, mate. Don't worry about it. Hodgson is demanding assurances that he gets new signings in the summer, which apparently we're prepared to offer him assurances, but who knows?
Yeah,
don't worry, mate.
I mean, how many times has... I feel like the journalists who like these stories can just like copy and paste from the year before. Because it's just like, you know, we don't buy anyone in the summer, and then you say, well, we've started all right, we'll get the odd player in January, and then in January it's... You know, there's no good value at this time of year. We'll get it in the summer. and it just cycles on and on and on.
Yeah.
So him being given assurances means very little to me. I'm sure it probably means very little to Roy as well at this point, to be honest.
Here's a good quiz question in terms of our woes in the transfer market. Hesketh or Albert, whoever gets it first. Who was the last right back we signed?
Curtis Fleming.
good shout, but it was not Curtis Fleming.
Was it Joel Ward?
It was the one after him, the following season. So in 2013, when we signed that flurry of players.
Oh, was it Darcy
Blake? Yeah, Darcy Fussell was a centre-back, Darcy Blake, who then went on to play Division 2 rugby before retiring. Lots of problems with alcohol, I believe. Yeah.
But no. The flurry of players.
We signed 15. Season. We signed too many. It was like the reverse of today.
No.
There's listeners screaming at you, you prick. It's so obviously Jack Hunt.
I don't need to be like that. Oh!
Yes, Jack Hunt. Yeah.
And he broke his leg after like 2 minutes in training or something, right?
Exactly, yeah. And then...
oh, well.
Where did he go? I think he might be at Sheffield Wednesday or somewhere like that.
He definitely went to Wednesday on loan, didn't he, when he was fit?
I have a feeling he's at Bristol City now. But if you feel, I will Google and tell you. Yep, Bristol City. There you go.
It says, according to Wikipedia, he is a defensive midfielder. Oh, it says defender midfielder, I see. I was going to say, but you can't really trust Wikipedia, as we found out the other day when it was saying that George Endar scored 44 goals in 110 games for Palace, whilst also going out on loan to Bournemouth in the middle of that time, who were then in League Two. Obviously not true. He'd only scored 11 goals at Palace, which, as a sad geek loser, I've since corrected on Wikipedia. I'm just about to look to see if it stayed changed. It did. They accepted my change. There you go.
He'd be absolutely prolific with that record, wouldn't he, if he was in the team?
Yeah, 101 appearances, 44 goals. 11 goals is prolific. In this day and age.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
But of course, that was 11 goals is the most apt number of goals for George Endar to score, being famously known at Palace for his very skinny legs. For the younger listeners, go and look at pictures of George Endar. He definitely skipped leg day. Right, let's get into this game. Listening to the Unholy Trinity podcast, Everton podcast, actually quite good, actually. It was very good banter between the lads on there, three blokes. If you fancy giving opposition podcasts a listen, that one was a decent one. Albert, Zaha is bound to score. Is he?
I hope so. I mean, I'll take that. Yeah. Is he bound to score? I don't know. Everton are kind of certainly improved under Ancelotti, you know, and they've beaten some of the bigger teams, but they've kind of, you know, they've come unstuck against some smaller teams.
Yeah, well,
a lot of draws.
Last 10, only one defeat, which pretty much I think ties in with Ancelotti coming in. 5 wins and 4 draws in those 9. So one defeat in 10 is not bad.
No, not bad. But they, you know, they have conceded in most of those games. You know, they let Watford score 2. They let Everton, they let Newcastle score 2. So it'd be nice if they let us do the same.
Yeah.
If they could try and avoid scoring 3, that would be like really nice.
It would be ideal. Hesketh going to Goodison, we had a good time of it there early on in our time in the Premier League, and our 4 wins at Goodison Park in Premier League, I think 3 in the last 7 years, whatever, and then 1 going back to 1997, makes it our most successful hunting ground in the Premier League.
Is that right?
4 wins is only matched by Leicester.
It is a place where I saw Fraser Campbell and Yannick Bolasie score in the same game in the Premier League. So what a day that was. And actually, someone posted it on Twitter the other day. I know it was a draw, but that Benteke header from almost the edge of the box.
A curling header. Never seen one before. I've never seen one.
Yeah, unbelievable header. I mean... I don't hold up much hope because they definitely look better under Ancelotti, which you would expect. And it, you know, even though they are letting a few goals in, our numbers in terms of goals scored is absolutely bloody awful, isn't it? So,
is there any? Have we hit bottom of the league yet? You carry on talking.
We have. I actually have looked before we kicked off. So we're the lowest home scorers in the league with 10. And we are overall now the lowest scorers in the league.
So we've scored a whopping goals for 22.
We've scored 22 goals. 22 goals in 25
Same
games.
Same as Sorlot.
Yeah, yep. Sorlot's got 21 in 22 games and countless assists on top of that as well. We won't get into that. I did see someone make a really good point on Twitter the other day saying, you know, we slag off the Turkish league. Now Sorlot's scoring goals there, but nobody was saying they didn't want to sign Cenk Tosun a few years back when we was linked with him, who was also banging in goals in the same league. So it's certainly a strange one.
I think the thing is, we've talked about it before, and I certainly have had the opinion that playing the way we do with three defensive midfielders is not the way to go. It's proven not to work in terms of scoring goals. And it was sort of okay when our defence was really good and we you know, weren't letting in goals very much at all. But now we seem to be letting in quite a few more goals every game. And if you're doing that, then scoring one goal a game is going to get you bugger all. So hopefully with, you know, Andros coming back, Benteke playing well, because I thought he was good against Sheffield United, and taking him off sort of ruined our shape a bit. Hopefully with those players coming back, we can maybe try something different. I mean, I'm not holding that much hope with Roy, but if we tried something a little bit different and went a little bit more offensive, then maybe we would get two goals.
Yeah, it's funny because Roy has talked this week, I think, about trying to get Jordan Ayew back through the middle now that Townsend's fit again. And of course, we won a few more games, but Albert, we still wasn't scoring goals with many goals of Ayew through the middle. Most of the season, it's been Ayew through the middle, and we're still in this position. It's just that he's scored key goals. So is that the answer? Or as Hesketh says, do we need to look to go a little bit more offensive and be a bit braver?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. It always seems that we kind of, whether it's the fans or, you know, and again, Roy and the club are a bit guilty of this. We always seem to find an excuse as to why we're struggling for chances and goals. And yeah, like you say, it's been, you know, Ayew's played through the middle loads of times this season, and I'm not having a go at Jordan Ayew at all. And he's done very well. He scored some important goals, some really quality goals. But yeah, it's not like, you know, he's not on double figures and all of a sudden he's had to play out wide and the goals have dried up. So, you know, for that to cut, I mean, we're clutching at straws, I guess, and I guess Roy is as well, because he wants us to see more goals, score more goals. So, me personally, if Andros comes in and plays, I'd almost want Benteke on the pitch, because I think we need to, if we're going to play the three boring central defensive midfielders that Hesketh's already talked about, you know, we aren't going to create chances going through the, you know, we're not going to carve teams open by playing, you know, intricate passes, you know, down the middle of the pitch. You know, all they're going to do is try and look to get it wide to whether it be Zaha on one side and Ayew or Andros on the other. And, you know, you kind of need to put balls into the box. You know, that's our only outlet. And that Townsend and Zaha aren't going to dribble around, especially Zaha. He's going to have three men on him and he's not going to dribble around them every time and get a decent chance into the box for somebody like Jordan Ayew to get on the end of. You know, you kind of almost want to set up away from home and get, and it's, you know, I hate to go a bit sort of Allardyce, but you want to get balls into the box for someone who's going to challenge for them. So you need to get the ball in early. And I think the best person to try and deal with that is Benteke. And again, Hesketh's already said, you know, he did look like he was getting on the end of stuff in the game against Sheffield United.
Well, yes and no. I think, again, he's, the two times he got in front of goal, he hit the side netting in the first half. He cut inside a defender in the second half and hit the tamest shot ever back to the goalie. But it's not getting in the six-yard box is Christian Benteke's problem, I think. And this was made so obvious in the first half when Jordan Ayew flashed a shot across the six-yard box, across, sorry. But Benteke had gone to meet him short, and I'm just screaming, like, get in the 6-yard box, just remember what sort of striker you are. And he's obviously under instructions to do things differently. With Benteke, a lot of it is fancy flicks and, you know, going in to meet players and making cute triangles, where the one time last week where he went and stood in the middle of the 6-yard box, he nearly got on the end of a Zaha cross, and probably, I think he did get a touch on it and it went wide. And that was the one time he managed to get himself in the 6-yard box. So if you're playing Benteke, you've got to get him in a 6-yard box, but I just don't think it is. I think we play some beautiful, free-flowing football down the left-hand side often with Van Aanholt and Benteke and Zaha linking up, or Ayew, whoever it is over there at that point. And we play lovely stuff and we get round the fullback, and then whoever's got round the fullback on that occasion is looking up and there's no one there. So there's clearly something broken in the system that we constantly end up in these positions where they look like threatening attacking positions, only for the last ball to have to be either a shot from a really, really tight angle, or trying to pick perhaps an on-rushing James McArthur, if he's managed to get there, out ahead of 7 defenders in the opposition. So it's really frustrating at the moment. It's like something's got to change, and it's been going along 24, 25 games now, whatever we are through. Nothing's changing. We're getting the same scenario over and over again, and it just feels like we're banging our head against a brick wall. So I really would like to see a change in the system, but at this point, especially with no change in personnel, I just don't really see where it's going to come from. But we all that being said about three combative midfielders, Hesketh, the Everton fans are saying this is exactly where they struggle. They have no battle in the centre of the park. Fabian Delph, they were absolutely laying into, and he was sent off, so he won't be available for selection. But he's saying it's basically going to be Sigurdsson and Tom Davies in there. So they're a little bit worried with our midfield trio that they might bully them in there. Is that something we can look forward to?
Well, one thing I definitely think we can look forward to is Luka getting a yellow card, because I don't think a game goes by where he doesn't get a yellow card, does he? So
they described him as a walking yellow card on the podcast.
Well, I think he's back from his red card suspension and is now one card away from another suspension.
Two games, that's right, for 10 yellow cards.
Yeah,
and he served one match ban for 5 yellow cards. So go for the 15, yeah, Holy Trinity.
Why not? I mean, we might as well count them as goals because we're struggling properly. I think that they might not have much in midfield in terms of like grit, Everton, and we might have that, but I don't think it's necessarily going to cancel each other out. I think we're going to be under the cosh a bit. We're going to need to move the ball forward quickly. And like you say, get people in the box, because having the three defensive midfielders, if James McArthur isn't busting his neck to get into the box, then there isn't anyone there. You know, we don't score goals from 25 yards when Andros isn't playing, because no one has a bloody shot from there. So the midfield are going to have to do a lot of work, and part of that is going to be to support the forward play. And unfortunately, we don't really do that. So it'll be a surprise to me if it changes, just because Everton don't really have a gritty midfield themselves.
Yeah, maybe if you get on top of them and you kick the crap out of them, it might happen. And they was worried that James McArthur might be in there doing that. It'd be interesting to see if he starts again. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see anything's going to change. I think it's the sort of game that we're just going to go and lose 1-2. It will probably be really, really tight, obviously, because we'll make it difficult for them and probably set up for the draw. But I don't know about you, Albert. I can't see past the 1-2 scoreline to Everton.
No, I'm going to be slightly more optimistic and say we'll score, but I think we'll lose it 2-1. And I think it'll be Mr. Yellow Card penalty and a Calvert-Lewin brace.
That would be good for my fantasy team. A couple of Calvert-Lewin goals. Hesketh, what about you?
I'll go 3-1. I think we might score and have hope that we'll get something back, and then that will be shot down. I don't know who's going to score, to be honest. I'll say Ayew for us.
You're right. Luka Milivojevic is on 9 yellow cards. There's 2 other players in the Premier League on 9 yellow cards also. If care to hazard a quick guess, I would say one of them is expected, one of them is not.
Oh, David Luiz.
that's a decent shout, but no. It's Jorginho for Chelsea is the other. It's the unexpected one. And anyone, shout out to anyone who was at Bournemouth away a couple of seasons ago, Jefferson Lerma.
Oh, yeah, of course. He's a right goal shot.
He has a red card in the Premier League as well, which Luka doesn't. He obviously has one in the Cup. But and then there's a Christian Cabasele for Watford with two red cards this season. Imagine a Watford player being dirty. It seems to beggars belief, really. But there you go. Defeats all around then from us. I think in the past that's been quite a good omen for us travelling to away games. But we'll see how it goes on Saturday. I'm actually missing it. Heskiff, are you going up?
Alas, no. I will also.
Yes, I think it's unusual for both of us to be missing a game. House renovations are completed for me for this weekend, so I'm being a good husband. Mainly aided by it being made a 12:30 kickoff, which gave me an excuse to swerve it. But Albert, I think Watford at home this weekend, so you're there, aren't you?
No, but funnily enough, I was in Liverpool today and I was standing about 20 metres from the new, whatever they're calling it, Goodison Park construction site. So I was there today, so, you know.
Who were you there with? Anyone exciting?
No.
Was Neil there? Never mind. We'll leave that there and we'll be back after this short break.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Right, that's almost your lot for this week. All the usual stuff here. Head to YouTube, watch DR do his stuff over there. Very controversial post Sheffield United, doing outside the stadium interviews immediately after the game. Been very, very divisive. But yeah, go ahead and watch them, give them a view, see what you think, leave some comments. We always listen to feedback here at Back of the Nest. So feel free, praise it, hate it, do what you want to do. We will listen. Head over to backofthenest.com, send voice notes for the review show on 0203-575-1766 on WhatsApp. Follow on Twitter at Back of the Nest or on Instagram at Back of the Nest CPFC. Who's up next, Heskiff? I always put it on you. You should know to learn by now.
Oh, bloody hell. Is it Newcastle?
It is Newcastle at home. I mean, that's it.
You know what that means.
International knob out Saturday.
Cock out in the away end at the pre-game rave up. Is he shaking a glow stick around? No.
Oh, you don't. If you're in the sort of vibe that you're waving a glow stick around, you don't want to be getting your knob out, that's for sure. It's been a pleasure, guys. And until next week, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.